Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Would it not be a sin to not share our hearts with our mate, but then to share them with someone else besides the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the Lord does say in Psalm 62:8 to pour out your heart to him. But he's also given your wife a flesh and blood thing to see here on earth. Now, notice again Ephesians chapter 5. It says that he gave himself for it. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That's my Lord, my friend. And that's the love that he has to us. He gave himself for us. Why do we expect the wife to give all for our comfort when God treats us as royalty? The Bible says that he's going to make us kings and priests, that we'll rule and reign with him. He says in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Sufferings may be great in this life. I come from the hospital just today, and as a matter of fact, I've done this a couple of times recently, where a mate is dying, and they are suffering from a terrible disease. And yet, as terrible as the suffering may be, as hard as the suffering is on the entire family, and especially the mates, the degree and greatness of that suffering will seem minute in comparison to the greatness and the degree of the glory in Christ Jesus throughout all eternity. So, Jesus gave himself for this church, and then he also sanctifies and cleanses it. He makes the church his special object of affection every day. He wants to present her glorious and without spot. Now, that's what he wants to do for his bride. Now, you're a man out there listening. When is the last time you've done something for that bride of yours? When is the last time you bought her a dress, flowers, or just wrote her a note? You say, "I can't afford flowers, I can't afford a dress." Sit down and write her a note and let her know how special she is, and let her know that you love her. God left the note for us. It's called the Bible, and he loves us. In Ephesians 5:29, it says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Be as concerned for your wife's temporal needs as you are that you eat. Now, some of you men, I know how you are. If supper is just 5 minutes late, you're yelling, "When are we going to eat?" If the food is not just right, you're very angry, and you'll tell her about it. What will you do when you're before the Lord and you have to give an account? And the Bible says that you'll be judged with the same judgment with which you judge. So if you're an unmerciful husband, you expect the judgment on you to be without a lot of mercy. Okay, so he is that way. And then verse 27, he says, not only that she is without blemish, but she's holy. That's the way he's going to present his church. So that tells us of the spiritual responsibility of a father and of a husband. You need to be in church and have your family in church Sunday morning, Sunday school and worship, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, revivals, conferences, what have you. Have them there. Have the Joshua attitude. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Regardless of what the rest do, we are going to serve the Lord. Now, women are not to teach or to usurp authority. But in that they're not to do that, then men, you have a great responsibility for the spiritual life of your home. You better study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Today, people talk about good family men. The Mormons have their family teaching. The Japanese, with their ancestral worship, have their various family things that are close family units. We're told of many of the Far Eastern peoples that they have great family honor. But you're to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So often they say, well, listen, I can't have my kids there Sunday night. They need their sleep. They've got school the next day. Or Wednesday night, they got school the next day. Well, good. Keep them out of school. I mean, is school more important than God's house? You see, some, they won't come on Sunday night. They'll bring their kids to Sunday school on Sunday morning, but then they use the kids as an excuse. Well, they really need their rest. And yet, if you're like my church, you have a children's program on Wednesday night, and the Wednesday night program goes about an hour longer than the Sunday night program. But because you have the children's program, they have the children there, and it's on a school night. At least Sunday, they could have slept in the afternoon. And they don't have those kids at church on Sunday night. My friend, that is the height of hypocrisy. And especially when you can sleep in a little bit later on Sunday, and then you even have the afternoon to sleep. Now, how does it show the fear of God when you show your children going to bed is more important than obeying God in Hebrews 10:25 of not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is? Now, you say, well, preacher, I go to church regularly. I'm not there Sunday nights. I'm not there Wednesday nights, but I'm there every Sunday morning. Do you realize that if you're there every Sunday morning, and the church has Sunday school and morning worship, and you're there for those two things, then you're going 50% of the time. Now, if your child makes 50% in history, 50% in math, 50% in English, they fail. Why do you think that that's acceptable with God? I mean, your child's regular. They're making 50% in everything. So why do you think God should accept what the world calls failure too? And if you only go to morning worship on Sunday and call that regular, you're missing 75% of the church services. What a shame. And by the way, you say, well, I don't feel a conviction about it, and I don't feel bad about it. But remember, we are judged by God's words. We find out that He's the judge. You're not the judge. And your feelings won't make a difference. And I have a hard time thinking that 75% missing is going to sound like you are faithful. Now, you may think that that's so, but I don't think it is. Now, when you're going to present your bride as well as your family holy, there better be a testimony of faithfulness. And by the way, was it not Jesus Christ who rebuked His disciples because they could not watch 1 hour, but they slept instead? In Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, we're told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our body, our mind. We're to love Him with all. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love Him, keep His commandments. Now, how does disobedience show you love God? What if a teen wants a church where they have liberal standards in dress, conduct, or music? Or they're not wanting to walk with God? By the way, too many parents allowed the children to lead them. And that is wrong. And dad, you're going to be accountable for that. When your children tell you what church they want to go to, and that's the church they're going to go to, and you allow them to go to that church, or you begin going to that church, and you leave your good fundamental Bible preaching church, my friend, you are at fault. You may justify it in your own mind, just like the guy says, I'm going to church regularly that's only there for 25% of the services. But my friend, understand, you'll be accountable to God for that. In Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's not talking about salvation. That's talking about discipleship. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You got to learn to bear the cross. Now, let me blow your socks off, you might say, after seeing those scriptures. Just because you're family-oriented does not make you a good Christian or spiritual. Now, let me repeat that. I want you to make sure you heard this clearly. Write it down. Just because you're family-oriented does not make you a good Christian or spiritual. Why not? If you'll take time off to have family time, do it from the job instead of from the church or instead of from God. You say, well, Brother Andy, you said God ordained the home, government, and the church. And God ordained the home before he ordained the church. That's why it's all right to go on a family picnic on Sunday and not go to church. That's why it's all right for us to, from time to time to go to the beach instead of going to church or whatever it is you do. Well, your family was before the government. Could you say, look, we're not paying our taxes this year. We're going to use that money for family time because God ordained the family before he did the government. Now, if you're consistent, you'll say that and you'll do that. But you see, you don't want to go to jail. So actually, you don't believe that. You just do it on God because you feel like you're getting away with it. And that means you have no concept of the judgment seat of Christ. You can go to church with your family and discuss what you received. Not criticizing it, not finding fault, but discuss the good things. And my friend, that is doing something together as a family. That's a family time. By the way, have you ever thought that before God ordained the family, God ordained ministry? He told Adam to name everything in the garden. And after everything was taken care of, he said, I need a helpmeet for Adam. And before he ever called it a family, before it was ever called a wife, she was called a helpmeet. Help him meet what? Help him meet the needs of ministry. The best thing a family can do together is work together in ministry. The whole family can work together, for an example, on a bus route at the church. Does the whole family help a doctor who is a father do surgery if he's a surgeon? I don't think so. And yet, in church, we can work together as a family. Dad may teach a class. Mom can fix cookies for the class. And the kids can pray for the class. And oh my goodness, so many things, and make calls and make visits together.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.